You're listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastors Jeb Dotson, Reginald Marshall, and Tim Lowry. Join us today as we tackle hard topics, current and future events, as well as tough questions about the Bible from our live listening audience. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. Our hope and prayer is that through this program, you continue to ask questions and seek God's truth so you may be equipped to stand firm in your faith and grow closer in your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Hey, I want to thank you for tuning in. 104.3 Joy FM. I'm with Pastor Tim Lowry, Reverend Reginald Marshall, and I'm Pastor Jeb Dotson of Life Point Church. We are here to answer honest questions about God in this COVID-19 virus. First, I just want to give a word on why we're calling this the threshing floor. Give you a little background on that as we're just talking back and forth. The threshing floor was a place in biblical times where the grain would be brought in and be brought in to be rendered down to be useful to us, and we could actually consume it. You may not know this, but grain or wheat cannot be consumed by humans in its regular form right off the stalk. A cow can eat it, a pig can eat it, regular farm animals can eat it, but people can't eat it. It must be separated. And so the outer hull, which is the chaff, must be separated to get to the kernel. And so that is really our goal, is to separate, render down kingdom principles and things where we're talking about the Word of God, and just make it in bite-sized pieces that we can understand. And so we want to be clear, and we don't want to cause confusion, and we really want to hear from God. And we just got through praying and just inviting the Holy Spirit just to guide us and lead us through this conversation that we're having. And we just want to just take these things down into a bite-sized pieces of what is God doing and what is going on with this COVID-19 virus. There's just a few questions I guess we're going to roll through, and this is just based upon, as a pastor, the questions that are coming to me and so many other pastors. And I guess the first one that we want to tackle is, where is God in the middle of this epidemic?
Oh, that's a tough one.
And so, yeah. We're just going to open this up, and let me just start with Reverend Marshall. What is your take on this?
Well, first of all, I would like to say hello to everybody, and thank God for the airwaves and the opportunity to be able to come and share in this exciting time that we're trying to dig in and dive up into this topic. Where is God in the midst of this epidemic? Good question, Pastor Dawson. I believe personally, it depends upon a couple of things. Number one, who you're talking to and who's asking the question versus their relationship with God themselves. I do believe that humanly speaking and earthly speaking, God is in heaven. If you are speaking with a person, for instance, if a person is asking the question and he is already saved, he already has, or she already has a relationship with God, has given their lives over to him, then the Holy Spirit, being God, dwells within them. So he's always present, even in the midst of the epidemic. If they're saved and they have that personal relationship with God, then he's there. If you're dealing with, or if we are speaking to someone who perhaps have not surrendered, have not given their lives over to Jesus Christ, but they are in search of him, I am apt to say that he's standing right there in the presence, Amen. Right in front of them, waiting to receive them into his kingdom.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Here's a passage of scripture that, and I know we probably have all just preparation for this and looking through some things. Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I think where we, as people, where we kind of lose sight of some things, see, God has a primary focus on what is eternal, and man has a primary focus on what is temporary. We focus on what is right in front of us. So that means our thoughts, what we have, and God's thoughts, they very rarely line up. Mankind will constantly question God as to why certain things happen or disagree what is currently going on in the world. But we must always remember that we are only given a very small understanding on what's going on in God's big picture of eternity. What do you think, Tim?
Well, I have to agree with that. And when I was reading this morning, something just jumped out at me in Isaiah 57. And I was having that same question. It's like, well, where is God in all of this? And I think sometimes we may ask the wrong question. It's not where is God, but what is God doing? What is God wanting us to do in this situation? And, you know, because we've had the virus come pretty close to us, where we've had friends that we know have actually gotten the coronavirus, and one of them had complications and actually passed away in end of January, and now they're actually thinking that it was actually the virus that did it and not the surgery, because she had all these complications, ended up having those kind of respiratory issues and everything. And during the time, I was like, what is going on? I mean, this is a righteous woman. She's faithful. She prays. She's got prayer warriors. I mean, she's a mighty woman of God. And when I was reading in Isaiah 57, it just said this. It said, the righteous perish, and no one ponders it in their heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands it, that the righteous are taken away to be spared from the evil. Those who walk upright enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. And that was just an amazing thing for peace for me. It's like, here, yes, we're going through this. We've lost this really great friend. She was a best friend. I knew her since high school. We went to drama school together, and we'd always go to these reunions. And just to know that, okay, there's peace in what God's doing. It's not where he is. He's actually orchestrating this, and that brings so much hope.
Amen. Yes, That's just an awesome thought that, although, you know, we go through our lives, we go day to day, and it seems like this has been a huge wake-up call. A lot of people have just call it the grind, where you wake up and you do the certain thing, and it seems like we've all have been pulled out of our normal, and now we're really out of the box. And I think the question is, what are you going to do with the time that you're given here? This is a huge time to reflect and to take stock of everything, because we have nothing but seems like time. Everybody's stuck in their homes, and I'm hoping, is my hope and prayer, that people would just make the very best of this situation and really try to draw closer to God and figure out really what is the purpose and what's going on, and how can we reconnect with an all-loving Savior. This is going to the New Testament, John 14:18, Jesus is saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And so where is God in the middle of this epidemic? He's right here. He has not left. He's what I get the feeling of, just waiting for his children just to respond to him and to connect with him.
Amen, amen. And then to Revelation 4, actually, for those who want to read it a little bit later on, it gives a glimpse of a vision of God's throne in heaven, where it starts off by talking about, after these things, I saw a door standing open in heaven. I heard the first voice like a trumpet speaking to me. It said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And it goes on with a lot more than that, but it kind of gives an insight as to, we all know that God can be at so many places at the same time. And even in the midst of this pandemic, I believe that what God is still saying and it holds true, is I would never leave you nor forsake you. So even now, he's right there.
Amen. I think one of the things that really helped me notice some things, it's like, and Pastor, chime in on this, but what I noticed is, even in these pandemics, even in these things that God allows to happen, one of the things that I always see happening is it's always a way to move people back to repentance, back to focusing on Him. And so that's the byproduct. It's like, it's not that, where is God? God is right there. In fact, God has been waiting. I don't know how many times He always warns us, hey, this is going to happen if you don't do this. And then when He finally does it, we're like these little kids that's getting caught. You're like, absolutely. Oh man, what happened?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like we never planned, and it's like, wait, everything was going fine according to my plan. But, you know, there's plans that supersede what we have going on, and you've kind of spoken to what would be our next question a lot of people are asking. But before I get there, if you're just tuning in, let me give you that number again. If you have a question or a comment, just write this number down. It is 936-337-1413. You can text any question that you have or any comment, and we will try to interact. What I'd ask that you do is please just give us your first name and where you are from, and we would just love to hear from you. But the next question we have that a lot of people are asking is, can God do that? Can God really cause or allow a sickness? And we really need to get down to what's in the Bible. And just I want to remind you of a few things. The Bible, especially in the Old Testament, describes many occasions when God brought plagues and diseases on His people and also on His enemies. And in Exodus chapter 9, verse 14, He says, it's to make you see my power. Remember, He used plagues on Egypt to force Pharaoh to free the Israelites from bondage, and He also at the same time spared His people from being affected by these plagues. You can read that in Exodus chapter 12. And by doing this, He demonstrates that He has sovereign control over diseases and other afflictions. But I really want you to, if you have your Bibles with you at home, I really want you just to put a bookmark on this passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague on my people. And this is what it says. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So there definitely is a precedence to this that God very well could be in the background. Am I saying that God caused this sickness? That's really not my call, but I'm according to the Word of God, if He says, when I do these things, when I send this, He said, I'm really looking for a response from the people. And the question is, are we listening? What do you guys think?
Well, go ahead, Reg.
I believe, Pastor Jeff, that you hit it right on the head. God can be whatever He wants to be. God can do whatever He wants to do. He can call, He can create, He can allow. But just let me add this, because I don't want to take away from the meat that you just gave us. Romans 8 and 28 sums it up this way, and we know that all things work together. All things does include the coronavirus. All things work together.
Amen.
For the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, if we have been called by God according to His purpose for whatever that we are operating in ministry, then we are not excluded from whatever God allows to come and whatever God brings to our table. We just have to recognize it for what it is. I know that a lot of people are questioning and they're wondering if this is from God or like you said, why would God cause this? He can do whatever he wants to do. And some things, I do believe that some things we'll never be able to understand the mysteries of what God does because it's not really digestible for our knowledge at that time. But if we pray and ask God to reveal to us by his Spirit, he'll show us in time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think sometimes we get this illusion as Christians that, well, now that we're saved, nothing bad's going to happen to us. You know, God's going to pour out his wrath on everything else, and I'm going to rest in him. And that's not always the case. We have to be prepared to go through whatever is going through in the world that he has for everybody. And again, it just goes back to what are we doing with that? Are we pressing closer to God? Are we getting excited and ignited by being able to share his truth with those that don't know, that are scared and frustrated and angry and don't have those answers and are seeking those answers? Or are we sitting there in our couches, you know, hunkered down, not telling anybody, afraid ourselves and frustrated with God that we've got to sit at home and not do our normal day routines?
You know, Jesus gave this parable, as you were talking, just remind me of that firm foundation and the man who built his house upon the sand.
Right.
This is something that, you know, we teach kids about. I think there's even a few songs about it. The man who built his house upon the sand and the wind came and the storms came and it just wiped it out. I really feel like God has given us an opportunity through this to get our foundation back. We live in a country that was founded upon biblical principles of serving the Lord. And I feel like that we've gotten away from that. I know it's just a little radical, and I'm not bashing where we live. I love the United States. But as I look around, sometimes I wake up and I see what's going on. I don't really feel like I'm in the same country anymore. Right. And I really feel like God really wants us to get that foundation back. So I think this is a great opportunity. I think in spite of this, that we could see great revival sweep across the land. When the churches open back up, I could see that there would be a great increase because all that has been removed and everything's been shut down. And I really think people will get to the point where they are recognizing what is truly valuable to them. And that is something, that's something that we all just need to just sit back and take stock of.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be asking and answering a few more questions. Stay with us.
Click Drive. That's all it takes to be driving a new Chevrolet from Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland. Click the Shop Click Drive icon at CutshawChevrolet.com and complete your new or pre-owned vehicle purchase from the comfort of your own home. Select the car or truck of your dreams, arrange financing, and even get a valuation of your trade, all with just a few clicks. And to top it all off, we'll deliver your vehicle straight to your doorstep at no additional cost. That's keeping it simple at Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland. Visit us at CutshawChevrolet.com and check out this week's amazing offers. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
Davy Crockett's Grill now has new hours and fast curbside pickup. Open from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. every night, Davy Crockett's Grill is ready to feed your entire family with great food and great deals, like our famous catfish family dinner that serves up to four people, including 10 catfish fillets, coleslaw, hush puppies, and your choice of fries, only $29.75. Or how about our mouth-watering chicken fried steak dinner for four, served up with 2 8-ounce and 2 4-ounce chicken fried steaks, mashed potatoes, green beans, and Texas toast for only $29.75. Davy Crockett's Grill, located on the corner of Loop 304 and Highway 7 in the city of Crockett. Be sure to like us on Facebook to get our latest updates and more amazing deals. Order ahead by calling 936-243-6005. That's 936-243-6005. Davy Crockett's Grill. Comfort you can taste.
Look, honey, our custom mirror's finally here.
This doesn't look like it's from Saussure's Glass and Mirror.
Nope, I found this smashing deal online instead. Check it out.
I don't know. Looks too big. Sure it will fit?
Of course. I just need to nudge it a bit more.
Well, that was definitely a smashing deal. I'm calling Saussure's.
Never settle for less when you can work with the best. At Saussure's Glass and Mirror, their professionals custom cut your glass in-house to make sure it fits right the first time. From mirrors, tabletops, and shower doors to windows, custom glass designs, and windshield replacements, Saussure's Glass and Mirror has all of your glass needs covered. Family owned and operated, you'll feel right at home with their friendly and knowledgeable staff. With over 30 years of experience in customer satisfaction, it's clear to see why so many customers keep coming back to Saussure's Glass and Mirror. Just remember, Saussure's Glass can handle the task. Give them a call today at 936-687-4958 or visit them at saussuresglassandmirror.com.
Well, I want to thank you once again for tuning in to The Threshing Floor. I'm Pastor Jeb Dotson with Life Point Church. I'm here with Pastor Tim Lowry and Reverend Reginald Marshall, and we're talking about honest questions about God and about COVID-19 and everything that's going on. If you don't have that number, you can text any question or comment you have. You can write this down. It's 936-337-1413. We would love to hear from you. And so far, we're just going through common questions that is going through just everywhere as believers in the church and people outside of the church, and talking about what does God have to do with this, or where is God in the middle of this? And here's a common question, and this is kind of a big one where we're going next, and people are actually asking this: are we facing the end of the world? And I know that is, you know, it's laughable. We watch it on Hollywood movies and things, and there's, it seems like Hollywood has so many different variations of how the world will end, and so it seems to be on people's minds. So what do you think about that, Tim? Are we facing the end of the world?
Well, looking at the Walmart shelves completely empty of the toilet paper, and even in a small town like Crockett, you kind of wonder a little bit. You think that there's people out there that are definitely thinking it's the end of the world. But I can't say if the world is going to end or not. I mean, we don't know. We know that this virus is something that nobody's seen in the world before. The contagious nature of it, it's just spreading like wildfire. And they even found out yesterday that it's actually being transmitted into animals as well. So the things that everyone said, oh, it can't do this, it can't do that, well, it keeps surprising everybody. So we really don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. But it's interesting because in Isaiah 24, when you're looking at when Isaiah was getting the prophecy from God about the end times and what was going to be happening, it's really interesting to see some of the similarities. And some of the similarities, like if you're looking in, like I said, Isaiah chapter 24, it talks about the master and the servant, the seller or the buyer, the borrower or the lender, the debtor or the creditor. They're all going to have to go through this. It's not like anybody's out of, you know, it's not like the righteous are not going to have to go through this. So we're all going to have to go through this in the end times. And we can look at that and say, well, we are going through this, each one of us. But I don't think anybody knows that what the actual end times are yet, but it does kind of feel like that.
Absolutely. And that is a question that has been asked since almost the beginning of time, when man was able to number his own days. It's just a question that seems to be on everybody's tongue. When is the end? Jesus was walking through Jerusalem, and he was with his disciples, and they were just showing him all the great things, and Jesus gave a prophetic word that everything you see, not one stone will be on another, and it really made them nervous. And so later, when they got back to their private group, Matthew 24. And there's just this one section that Jesus has given some descriptions of what's going on. And Matthew 24, 6 through 8 says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains." I think the biggest issue that I see is this question is that many people don't understand what that means, that the end.
Right.
See, the end is not really the end of everything, but the beginning. Because it, later in a few verses down, verse 13, he says, "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." That is a key scripture that tells us that it's really not going to be an end. It's hard to know if this part of the prophetic account that Jesus gave, Matthew 24, if we're experiencing that. But just know that the world will never really end. Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." Everything that we know is our normal, it will pass away. But what is it's replacing is so much better for those of us who believe Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm going to let you, Reverend Marshall, go ahead and give me a commentary on that. What are you thinking?
You mentioned about the wars and the rumors of war, and I know that we've heard it over and over and over. The chronomistic protocol of events, if I could just say it that way, of what's to take place, I think a person would have to really know something about and fully understand what's going to be going on during the tribulation period versus the rapture. Two separate times of an event.
Yes.
But it has to be fulfilled and played out in that order. But if you look at Thessalonians real quickly.
Okay.
If someone's out there, they have their Bible, the fourth chapter, verses 13 through 17, reads this: "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God would bring him, bring with him those who sleep in Jesus Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede," as that word precede, "those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then who are those who are still alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." So I know it's a lot to digest, but if you could just spend some study times, and I'm speaking of those listeners who perhaps are tuning in right now, if you kind of really pay no attention to all of the upcoming wannabe prophets, everybody has a picture of the end time. Well, in order to be accurate with it, you have to really understand and know what does God say that's going to be going on during the tribulation period and the rapture.
Absolutely. And maybe you haven't studied this and something on your own, that word that we use, rapture, we get that from that verse you just read, caught up. That is the Greek word where, you know, you will never find rapture in the Bible, but what it means is to be caught up. And we believe, according to what you just read, that there will be a time, there will be a day which the trumpet will sound, and I think it's going to be an audible trumpet that everyone's going to hear. Then every believer is going to be snatched away, where Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief." And so that means that you really can't know the time. I believe we can judge by the seasons, but it's going to be a real event that is going to take place. And so if you're thinking about, back to what we're talking about, the end, What is it going to be? There is no fear for the person who belongs to Christ. The end is nothing to fear, but something, I know this is a weird comment, it's something to actually look forward to.
Right.
Because, see, and what's going to happen, I want you to think about the world and just the government aspect. Now, I'm not anti-government, but I will tell you that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that our government is not perfect, and they may absolutely make mistakes. And we're not meant to be under a perfect government. It talks about it in the Bible that the government will be on his shoulders eventually. What that's called is a theocracy, and that's what we're moving to. That is a God-led government. It's a perfect government that the entire world has been waiting for. We've tried, mankind has tried to create the perfect government where we're taking care of our people and nobody's going to be starving and everybody's going to be fed and everybody's going to have a house. Guess what? It doesn't exist because the theocracy hasn't arrived yet. And so that's really something to look forward to, that everything's going to be set right. And the Bible says that the government's going to be on his shoulders, and on that kingdom will never end. So what you just described was the very first aspect of that event that we can really look forward to.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and I think that the joy comes in that. There's not the fear anymore. And I know for myself, being able to travel around different countries and seeing the persecution of Christians in China and firsthand, and being in underground churches and seeing all of that stuff, you know, when they proclaim Christ, it's a life or death situation. We here in America, we've been proclaiming Christ and not really having that situation in a lot of places. And, you know, now as these things start coming about, these restrictions on being able to worship, these restrictions on different things, you can start to see that there's a potential of the persecution that can start on the Christian side here. The question is, are you going to be one of those Christians that says, oh, I'm a Christian until something happens that you've got to stand up for it? And that's something that we all have to stand on the Word of God and say, no, this is God, you're giving me the courage to stand on it because your word is truth. And you said that these things would happen. You said that we would be persecuted. And I need to stand on that instead of run from that. And that's what will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to, in front of your captors, in front of these people, be able to give him the glory and to give him the honor and point people to him.
Amen.
Well, you know, it's just a question that's on so many people's minds. And, you know, is this the end of the world? What are we facing? What's going to happen? The truth is that we just don't know. And we just don't know from one day to the other. But there is a righteous way and a way of thinking that if we just rely on God first, rely on his kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God, and then it says, and all things will be added onto you. So if we really, really place God first, what you are saying, Tim, is it's going to make us more wise about things. We're going to gain a wisdom. It's not wisdom from ourselves. It's a godly wisdom. And you could actually be that firm foundation in the middle of a storm where people are panicking in Walmart and they're taking the very last roll of toilet paper, even getting in a fist fight over this last pack of toilet paper. You can stand back and you can use wisdom and you could say, you know, I serve a God who's on the throne and he's going to take care of me and my household. And so you can actually step back from the chaos and people will recognize that about you in your life. And they'll say, you know, you really have a different take on this. And I noticed that in your reaction where you're not panicking and you're not going around, you know, like Chicken Little in that cartoon screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And he convinced just so many other people that the sky is going to come tumbling down, create a lot of chaos. You can be the calmness wherever you are, in your family, in your workplace, in your circle of influence, and God will give you a wisdom about things like that, and he wants to infuse that in your life when we just really begin to think about his kingdom, his purposes, and what God's doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it goes back to some of the first questions of, you know, is God in this? And it's interesting that the more that you dive into the Word, the more you see not only is He in it, but He's orchestrating it, and He's doing it He is a just God, and He is doing it in His way, not our way. His ways are higher than ours. We just don't understand it. But we can rest assured that we know that He's in control. We know that even in death, as Christians, we are victorious. And there may be some things that, you know, you may be thanking that you had the coronavirus and you got out early. You know, who knows? When I was reading in Revelation, the seven scrolls or the seals, it's like, man, it just keeps getting worse and worse
it
and
does.
Worse.
Compounded.
Yeah. And it's like, I definitely don't want to be in that situation. But, you know, there's something to say about knowing, hey, there's a peace in knowing that God's got this under control. And what we have to do is just continue to just dive in. And one of the things in Isaiah 55 that we dedicated our tower with, it's interesting. As I read it, it comes in new light, and it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear to me and come. Hear me, that your soul may live." And I was just thinking about that. You know, it is, as we've been quarantined, we keep thinking that, oh, we got to keep doing what we're doing. And we fall into that rut. We fall into, as pastors, we fall into going, okay, I got to prepare for next sermon. I got to prepare for Wednesday night. I've got to, you know, all of these different things. And add on to the fact now that we have to become these experts in social media broadcasting, because that's mainly the way that we're being able to do this now, through social media, Facebook Live or YouTube Live, and learning that. But instead, God's calling us and He's saying, why spend your time in all of that? Just listen to me. Get close to me, read my word, and that is going to satisfy you. That's going to feed your hunger. And that's what I just have to keep going back to. And I'm guilty myself of getting wrapped up in other things and realizing, you know, right now we could be spending so much time in the word and just enjoying it, not as a responsibility or something as a homework or something. But the more that you actually get to enjoy reading, that you get closer to God, I get that giddiness of that first love of going, God, you love me so much before I loved you. And you keep giving us all these ways to come to you. And it's just such an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Let me get to this one question that came in. Pastor, I do believe that Jesus is going to return soon. When is the rapture going to take place? You know, that is a great question. When you're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it has this event of being caught up, if you really, you can ask three different people, and you can actually get three different answers to that. And here's a short end of it. Some people believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. That is, the tribulation, 7 years. Some believe it'll happen in the beginning. Some believe it'll happen in the middle, a mid-tribulation or a post-tribulation. And, you know, you could really open up a can of worms by just saying, well, I believe that the rapture is going to take place here. And so the 7 years of tribulation is a time which is definitely prophesied throughout the Bible. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the time where there will be turmoil on the whole earth. And so we really cannot say when that event will take place, but we do believe that it will, because it's a prophetic word. And what prophecy is history that hasn't taken place yet. And so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it will happen, because there's not one prophecy in the Word of God that has not already been fulfilled or that will not be fulfilled. And so it's going to happen. And so the biggest thing for you personally, what you could just get set in your mind that you're ready for that event?
Yes.
That it is a train or a bus that is leaving town and you don't want to miss it. And so you want to be part of that group that is going, because he is catching up those where it says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain, that's those who are in Christ. So everybody mm-hmm. who's part of this is in Christ. Invite Christ in your heart and you can be part of that event.
Amen. And that's one thing that you can be for certain is if somebody is telling you they know exactly when the rapture is going to happen, when Christ is coming back, that certain day, you can be guaranteed that that's not the day that he's going to be showing up, because it says that no man knows the hour or the day of Christ's return. So there's a lot of people, and I remember seeing billboards back in the 2002 and 2000, the year 2000, and there are big billboards saying Christ is coming back on October 11th, this date, and then, of course it doesn't happen. And so don't be deceived about that, and don't stress about it. Just know, like Pastor Jeb said, be ready for the event. And we're going to get to some more questions right after this break. So stay with us. You can continue to text those numbers, 936-337-1413. Thanks for texting so far. We'll be right back.
Crockett's Grill now has new hours and fast curbside pickup. Open from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. every night, Davy Crockett's Grill is ready to feed your entire family with great food and great deals, like our famous catfish family dinner that serves up to four people, including 10 catfish fillets, coleslaw, hush puppies, and your choice of fries, only $29.75. Or how about our mouth-watering chicken fried steak dinner for four, served up with 2 8-ounce and 2 4-ounce chicken fried steaks, mashed potatoes, green beans, and Texas toast for only $29.75. Davy Crockett's Grill, located on the corner of Loop 304 and Highway 7 in the city of Crockett. Be sure to like us on Facebook to get our latest updates and more amazing deals. Order ahead by calling 936-243-6005. That's 936-243-6005. Davy Crockett's Grill. Comfort you can taste.
The Texas summer heat, it can be absolutely unbearable. It's tough out there, but to go through summer without your vehicle's AC working properly is like cooking meat on a grill. Many auto repairs are put off simply because you don't have the money. At Carroll's Automotive, they understand. There's never a good time for auto repairs to happen. Carroll's has different financing options available, so don't worry about the money. Get to Carroll's Automotive today and get back on the road. Call 903-723-7656. That's 903-723-7656. Carroll's Automotive, located on Highway 19287, 1 mile south of Loop 256 in Palestine.
Shop Click Drive. That's all it takes to be driving a new Chevrolet from Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland. Click the Shop Click Drive icon at CutshawChevrolet.com and complete your new or pre-owned vehicle purchase from the comfort of your own home. Select the car or truck of your dreams, arrange financing, and even get evaluation of your trade, all with just a few clicks. And to top it all off, we'll deliver your vehicle straight to your doorstep at no additional cost. That's keeping it simple at Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland. Visit us at CutshawChevrolet.com and check out this week's amazing offers. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
Well, we are on the threshing floor with Pastor Tim Lowry, Reverend Reginald Marshall, and I'm Pastor Jeb Dotson of Life Point Church, and we've been talking about honest questions about God and about COVID-19 and this virus. If you hadn't got that number to text your questions or comments, it's 936-337-1413. And so we've just been moving through this, different questions that people have. And as for our last few minutes of this segment, We want to talk about, you know, what can we do? It seems like in everything that's going on, we have absolutely no control. So you may be asking, what can I do? What control do I have? And how can I protect myself? And so there's two sides of this. There's the, you can protect yourself physically, and then there's the whole spiritual side of it. So, and we can separate the two. First is just the common sense, and I'll let you guys chime in on this. You know, what are they telling us? How can we protect ourselves as we're going out, like social distancing and the other things?
Right, right. Well, it reminds me of back in the 80s, Christian comedians John and Vicky Joe Witte used to have this skit called Frady Hole, and it's about, you know, the end times, and that you need to buy your Frady Hole, and it's this thing that you know you bury in your front yard, and the moment you start seeing things, you just jump out, and it was funny because it was saying, you know, it has a 3 month, 3.5 year, or 7 year food supply, depending on what you believe. So they covered the whole thing. And the Frady Hole just reminds me, it's like, okay, you know, I don't think we need to get that drastic about it. But I do believe that it is wise to, when you do go out in public, to use the protective gear, use the mask that people are talking about to protect yourself from. And, you know, go from there. That's something that I think everybody needs to do.
And, you know, it's very easy to, I guess, let yourself get relaxed. Last Friday, we had the senior care box. It's something we do the first Friday of every month for anyone who's 60 or older. It comes these food boxes from the East Texas Food Bank, and they come in, and we've have a pretty big response, generally from 120 to 130 seniors we're serving. So we decided to do an outdoor drive-through because we didn't want to put any of our seniors at risk through Houston County. And so I had a team meeting with all of our workers, and I just kind of put it like this. I said, I know this sounds harsh, but you must treat every person you come in contact with as if they have the virus. And I know that sounds, you know, pretty strict, but if you get in that mode that every person you come into contact with could potentially have the virus, you will actually start protecting yourself, like what you're talking about, Tim, as wearing a mask, washing your hands, practicing good hygiene, staying healthy. Something that's kind of unique where we are is we have not one case that is on the map, supposedly.
Right.
I just want to say something, and not giving away anything or you know, who I've been talking to or whatever, but, you know, it's very easy to look at that number and say, well, it's not here. I would caution you because I know of a case where this person has all of the symptoms. Right. They've even tested negative for the flu, and it appears they may have the virus, but they are not testing them. Why aren't they testing them? Because they have just a very limited number of tests in supply. And I don't know why they want to hold on to them, but they don't want to, quote unquote, waste them. And so I believe that there's several people, even in Houston County, who are carriers now or do have the virus, and yet the numbers aren't up there to the CDC because they haven't been officially tested. So please do not let your guard down and think just because I'm in Houston County and we have no cases, just know that it is out there, I do believe, and we are so far behind in tests that you cannot trust the numbers.
Right, and it is a war. It's a war against this virus.
And so you just have to practice good hygiene and stay healthy. And even from, I talked to someone who works at the post office, her suggestion was your packages, just leave them outside if you can for a day. Wipe them down with a disinfectant cloth, or just everything you bring into the house, just know it could potentially have the virus attached to it. And it's not something to be fearful of. The Bible says that we are to be people of wisdom. And so in this time, you have two sides of it. You have the faith side. I belong to God. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. God has me in the palm of his hand. And so there's the whole other side that I also need to exercise wisdom. And so, you know, you don't get in a car and speed 100 miles down the road at night with your lights off, right? Because why? That's not good wisdom. Right. And so when you end up in a crash and in heaven and you say, God, what happened? He's like, well, I didn't ask you to get in that car and go 100 miles an hour down the road with your lights off. You need to exercise wisdom.
Right.
And so that's really what we need to be looking at is exercising these things and just trying to keep ourselves healthy.
Amen. Amen. I was just enjoying the moment. I'm sorry. Spiritually, Pastor Jeb, you mentioned scripture a little while ago when we were on another topic. You quoted the scripture. I believe it was 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My people, which are called by my name. And the question that we are dialoguing about now is what can we do to protect ourselves? I would suggest that we can start with a spirit of humility in the sense of if the government, be it national, be it state, local, if the officials are giving us reasonable guidelines to follow,
yes,
we need to humble ourselves in the spirit and take that stuff serious because they sometimes see what we don't see. They get information that we do not have access to. And so if we can start out by exercising the biblical or to apply the biblical principle of that scripture to what the officials are asking us to do and humble ourselves. And then I don't think we've gotten to it yet, or we may be talking about the spiritual side of it. What can we do spiritually? We can pray.
That's right.
It falls right. It's the next thing that's in line with that same verse. And I can even go to say, okay, we got physically, we're dealing with spiritually. I can add in emotionally and mentally. And it would tie into those last two forms of that same scripture. Because if you hear so much, and that's why I try not to really watch too much of the news feed, because mentally it can really gear your mind into another area that's not healthy.
It can wear you down. That is
yes,
absolutely.
Sir, it can.
There's,
yes,
it seems
sir.
Like there's nothing then, good.
Yes, sir. And so mentally leads on to emotionally. You're now acting out what you're thinking about.
Right.
And so you're starting to overreact in some cases, but nevertheless, you hit it on the head. We have to be safe. We have to understand that any potential person that we come in contact with, I don't care how sweet they look, how good they smell, they could be just as infected as someone that you would never have would have thought they would be. So you have to have that mindset. So thank you for giving us that insight on that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I started out with this thought, and I think we're going to be closing things down with this thought, is God views things on an eternal basis, and mankind, you and I, we view things on a temporary basis. So when you're talking about what can I do, what do I have control over, I really don't want to get much further than you need to believe that Jesus is who the Bible says he is.
Yes.
Get in your word. Get in the Bible. Stay in prayer. It's an act of dedication, an act of worship. But you just really need what we used to call it is we need to have a come to Jesus meeting. And what
that means
is just realize that Jesus is on the throne, and it is a total transition of thought. So we want every listener who is with us to really consider that. And I'm going to close in prayer, and I want you to pray along with me at the end of this program. And after that, I encourage you to get connected with other believers. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's hard at this point in time because there's not a church to go to, but there's so many online communities that you can get involved with the church to encourage one another. You know, I did, at our church, we had three baptisms, and we were safe about it. We put chlorine in the water, and we scheduled them 30 minutes apart, and it was very few people there, just family only, and we broadcast this online so the entire church community could celebrate with the decisions being made. And so we want you to consider this. If you are there at home, and maybe you don't know if when Jesus comes back, and that verse we talked about, that you're not sure if you would be one of those that is caught up in the rapture, and you know that you don't want to be left behind, I want you to just stop where you are and just pray with us. And won't you just take a moment? If you're in your car, you can pull over on the side of the road. If you're in your house, just take a moment, and let's just go to God with this. And you could just pray this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to earth. I believe Jesus was who he said he was and proved it by raising from the dead on the third day. I want to follow your plan and your purpose for my life. I want to get to know you personally. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and forgiving all of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your free gift of eternal life. Amen. God, we Amen. Thank you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to hear from you. If you can just maybe drop us a note at P.O. Box 387 in Crockett, Texas, 75835. I would love to send you a book of what's next if you made that decision. And before we end this broadcast, I just want to talk to the businesses out there, or maybe you personally, if you would like to sponsor a broadcast, if you have been ministered to through this program, if you would contact Tim Lowry, 1043joyfm.com, or you could send in support at P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. We love you, and we just want to know that we are with you. We are in this together.
You've been listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastors Jeb Dotson, Reginald Marshall, and Tim Lowry. The Threshing Floor is a ministry of Life Point Church. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.